Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Lord.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
I am the Good Shepherd.
I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds.
From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance.
With upright heart he shepherded them,
and guided them with his skillful hand.
But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever.
And from generation to generation, we will recount your praise.
Thank you. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul.
death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
The second reading is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes? And from where did they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in
one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again
according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is our text. I'd like to start with a question this morning, and the question is this: what is the church? What is the church? Is it a building? Is it the legal entity incorporated with the state? Is it a particular denomination, or even all denominations together? As you can imagine, theologians have written volumes about this question, and that's good and necessary in so many ways. But sometimes the simple answer is the best. Let's not overcomplicate it. What would a 7-year-old say about the church? Do we have any 7-year-olds here, or almost 7-year-olds? We have a couple. What would they say? Martin Luther once wrote, "Thank God, today a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, namely, the holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd." That's it. The holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd. So, Nico, when I ask you, or Helen, you know what the church is. It's exactly as Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." As we think about who these sheep are, it struck me that it would be really interesting to walk through the Gospel of John and see exactly who are the people who hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. And what happens to them as they follow the good shepherd? If you walk through the pages of John's Gospel, the first one you run across is John the Baptizer. From the Jordan River, he bears witness that Jesus is the Son of God. And then to the people who are following him, he points them to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And by listening to John's voice, they follow Jesus. There's Andrew, one of the first ones who follows Jesus, who tells his brother Simon Peter, "We've found the Messiah." And they both become his disciples. There's Philip, who heard the call to follow, and then he found Nathanael and told him, "Come and see." Walking through the Gospel of John, you begin to see the shepherd calling out with his voice, and the sheep hearing the voice and following him and coming from different places and different situations and going where he leads. There's Nicodemus. This one's a bit darker. He's not quite so ready to follow Jesus openly. He shows up at night when no one else can see him. But by the end of the gospel, he's right there at the cross, helping to take the body of Jesus down and lay it in the tomb. There's that woman of Samaria. You might remember her from John chapter 4. Jesus met her at Jacob's well, and he asked her to draw water for him. He told her everything she had ever done, including the fact that she'd been married 5 times and the man she was now with was not her husband. And for that, she went and told everyone else that she had found the Messiah. There's the official and his son who was dying, and there's that lame man healed by the pool of Bethesda. There are the full 12 apostles who stayed with Jesus even when others began walking away.
And we'll get to that in a minute. But when others were leaving, Peter gave voice to their beliefs. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." There's the woman caught in adultery, whom the Pharisees and scribes were ready to stone to death, but whom Jesus refused to condemn and instead forgave, saying, "Go and sin no more." She heard his voice and she followed him. There's the man born blind in John chapter 9, blind from birth, who confessed his belief that Jesus is the Son of God and worshiped him. And even when he was pressed to say that Jesus was a sinner, he said, "I don't know about this Jesus guy, but I know you're all a bunch of sinners," to the Pharisees. "But I know that I was blind, and now I see." Or another sheep, this one who had been in the grave for 4 days, Lazarus, a beloved friend, who even in death heard the voice of the shepherd calling, "Lazarus, come out." And he came, and he stood on his feet, and he lived. And his dear sisters, Mary and Martha, who believed that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the list could go on and on. There's Mary, the mother of our Lord. There's the women who went to the tomb. There's Joseph of Arimathea. There's doubting Thomas. There's Peter the denier, and on and on and on. The gospel is a gathering of the sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd. And when I say it goes on and on and on, I don't mean that it goes to John chapter 21, but that continued even after Jesus was risen from the dead and ascended on high. Still, there were those who heard the voice of the shepherd whom he knew and who followed him. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple? The word disciple simply means to be a student, or a pupil, or an apprentice, one who is learning from someone else. There's definitely the sense here of a hierarchy. The student is not on the same level as the master or the teacher. They are sitting at his feet. They are listening to what he says. They are absorbing and taking in his teachings. And not only in a sort of information way, but they follow his way of life. And that's what we are as well. You are numbered with all of these saints, with John the Baptizer and Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel, with Nicodemus and the woman of Samaria and the official and his son and the lame man who was healed and the 12 and the woman caught in adultery and the man born blind and Lazarus and Mary and Martha and the others and you. You have heard the voice of the shepherd. You heard it perhaps first when you were baptized, if you were baptized when you were young, or perhaps later as someone bore witness to you about Jesus and who he is. You heard his voice as you were taught the faith at church and at home and with friends and others. You hear his voice Sunday after Sunday here in the church. You are one who follows Jesus, and he knows you. He knows you inside and out. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what makes you stumble. He knows what makes you afraid. He knows what gives you joy and delight. And as you follow him, he is watching over you, and he is taking care of you every single step of the way. In fact, this shepherd is so good that he not only cares for the sheep when it's convenient, but he cares for the sheep even when it costs him something very dear. "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Because he knows you, and he loves you, and he desires to have you as part of his flock, not only today in this moment, but each and every day, for your entire life here and forever, to be a life of hearing his voice and following in his way. When I say hearing his voice, I don't mean we're always hearing it perfectly. I don't mean that we're always responding exactly as we should. Would that were the case for you and me both. But when we do stray, when we have stumbled, when we have allowed fear to cloud our eyes, sin to endanger us, other teachings to pull us away, and then we hear his voice again, what do? We come running. We bleat out our confession, Lord, have mercy and forgive. And he picks us up and he leads us anew. He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd not only of the flock here on earth, but also of the flock in heaven. As we heard in Revelation chapter 7, the saints who are gathered there around the throne, they are worshiping the shepherd who died and is risen and who reigns over all things for their good. What is the church but holy believers and those who hear the voice of the shepherd now and forever? Or you could say it is simply an assembly of sinners gathered around Christ to hear what he has to say. An assembly of sinners. When we invite other people to join us at church, is that what we invite them to? Do we say, hey, come and join an assembly of sinners gathered to hear the voice of the shepherd? I think that's how we should invite them, because that's simply what we are. Just one mass of sinners assembled around the voice of our shepherd, hearing what he has to say, living from his forgiveness, feeding at the pasture he provides, following him. But there are others, of course, who hear but don't hear, others whose hearts are hardened, others who don't listen and who don't believe that he is the Christ. And Jesus was talking to them in John chapter 10, because they said, tell us plainly if you are the Christ and we will believe you. And Jesus says, what do you mean, tell you? I've been telling you all along. By everything I've been saying and by everything I've been doing, I've been demonstrating who I am. And you don't believe. And you don't follow. The Pharisees, who at every turn try to stymie Jesus, trip him up, lead others away from him. The Jewish leaders who are threatened by his presence. The crowd after the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And they said, this is a hard saying. And they left. Caiaphas, who understood that one man had to die for the people, but didn't believe that Jesus was dying as God for sinners. Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands of the whole matter, even when he heard about the kingdom that Jesus brought. And Judas, who perished and did not continue to the end, who stopped his ears to the voice and instead went after filthy lucre and mammon and a desire for riches. There is a warning here. And the warning is this. The warning is that if any sheep is separated from the flock and wanders from the shepherd and ceases to hear the shepherd's voice, then it's in danger. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There were many who were offended by Jesus. There were many who were offended by his teaching that he was God come in the flesh. There were many who were offended by his teaching that he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one God in three persons. There were many who were offended by his suffering and his death. And so they rejected his word and they rejected him. They rejected the word made flesh. I and the Father are one, Jesus said. And they picked up stones to stone him. They thought that it was blasphemy. It was mercy. They think that Jesus, being man, has made himself God, when actually it's the other way around. It is Jesus who is God taking on human flesh and becoming man. And not only has he taken on human flesh, but he became man in order to suffer and die for the sins of the world, and then to take his life up again. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now we ought to think about what the life was like for the sheep who followed Jesus. Because I know the life that you desire and that you would wish to have. But it's not necessarily the life that Jesus promises here. We want our life to be a life of green pastures, of good health, of safety and security, with no enemies and no threats around us at any time. But that's not how it is for the sheep here. Think about all those sheep I mentioned. John the Baptizer. He hears the voice of Jesus and follows him and has his head removed. The blind man, blind from birth, who in persisting in following Jesus is kicked out of the synagogue and disowned by his fellow Jews. Lazarus, who is no sooner raised from the dead, but they begin plotting how to kill him. The 12, Peter and Andrew and James and John, crucified upside down, killed by the sword, and attempted to be poisoned before he died of old age for John. Following Jesus doesn't mean that this life will be a bed of roses. It doesn't mean that everything will go exactly the way that we wish it would, but it does mean this. It means that we always have a shepherd, and we always have a shepherd who not only is leading us, but who leads the way through life and death and into life again. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And listen to the promises. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. John the Baptizer, the blind man, Lazarus, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and you. Eternal life belongs to you. I know we don't see it yet fully, maybe not very much at all. It's like looking through a glass dimly. But eternal life belongs to you. It is your life already, now, and still to be unveiled in full when Christ comes again, and may he come soon. And you will not perish. No matter what you go through in this life, no matter what you face or have to endure, you will not perish. Because he said, "No one can snatch my sheep out of my hand." And the Father who has given them to Jesus, the Father who has given you to Jesus, is greater than all. And if he is greater than all, then who can take anyone out of the Father's hands? One last step I want to make here as we think about the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd. How do we hear the voice of the shepherd today? It's not that we hear him speaking in our hearts. It's not that we have some mystical notion about how we hear his voice. We hear his voice through other means. We don't hear him immediately thundering from the clouds, but we hear him as he speaks to us through his holy word, and as he speaks to us in the holy sacraments, in baptism, and in holy communion. Just as he appointed St. Peter to feed the sheep. What did Peter feed them with? He fed them with words. With the word. And Peter's whole job as the under-shepherd, just like St. Paul, as we heard in the book of Acts today, their whole job was not to lead people to hear their own voices, but rather to hear the voice of Jesus. That's what your pastor is for as well. Not that you would hear my voice, but that you would hear through me the voice of your good shepherd, calling you to follow him, believing what he says, receiving the gifts that he provides. I wanted to make one comment about that. I saw a news report recently that the Lutheran Church of Australia, not a sister church body of ours, but one where there were some relationships with, that church body recently took the step of ordaining women to the ministry. I think it's important to remember, as we think about the office of the ministry as Christ gives it, that we do believe in a male-only pastorate within our church, and we believe in that, first of all, because Jesus was a man, and the pastor is standing in his stead. And because of the way Jesus and the apostles speak of this in the scriptures, if we are to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, then we need to know that that voice is authentically and appropriately coming from him. St. Paul warned that there would be wolves who would follow, wolves who would seek to tear the flock apart, wolves who would persist in lies and in tearing people away from Christ. But we know those who are Christ's. They are the sheep, the holy believers, who hear his voice and believe in him. And what is his voice saying to you today? It is saying that you are his sheep, that you are those upon whom God the Father has set his heart, that you are those for whom Jesus has laid down his life and taken it up again, and you are those for whom he speaks in his word and sacraments, so that you can follow his voice and have the certainty that your shepherd is leading you now and forever. It is the Father who has given you into the hands of his Son, and no one will ever snatch you away. So be and remain what you are, in faith and in life, the sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd and belong to his holy church. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated, and I would like to invite forward Tom Connell. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of the congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the Church follows the example of the early Christian Church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Tom Connell was elected as our church council president last Sunday in a special meeting. Tom, you have been chosen to fill the office of Church Council President and our Savior. You are to work with me as pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the Word of God is preached purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearer in his church, show yourself by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the office entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promise of faithfulness spoken by this man whom you have selected to serve as Church Council President. Do you promise to support him in this work, to remember him in your prayers, and to work with him and our Church Council to the best of your abilities that God has given you, so that our God may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Brother in Christ, I install you as Church Council President of our Savior Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your office, that you may be a good and faithful steward for the glory of his name and the good of his people.
Amen.
Please stand. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up your servant Tom for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant him, by your Holy Spirit, the gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of his office, most especially wisdom, strength, and a willing heart. Let your blessing rest on this congregation, strengthen the faith, quicken the love, enkindle the zeal of our members, that your name may be glorified and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We pray that in the end of days, with all your faithful people, we may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Tom, go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Spirit to be poured out in rich measure, that hearing and following Christ, our shepherd, we would pass through every tribulation to our eternal heavenly home. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful men to pastor the Church of God, that in the face of opposition and twisted speech, they would not shrink from proclaiming the kingdom of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for our mothers, for all expectant mothers, especially Kelly, Rachel, and Rachel, and for those with young children, for those who have suffered miscarriage or the death of a child,
For those who, yearning for a child, have lived with the pain of this unfulfilled longing. For foster care and adoptive mothers. For mothers who grieve over their abortions. For those whose mothers are elderly, frail, and in need of care. For those without mothers or whose mothers are home with the Lord. And for all women who are mothers in Israel, who teach, serve, and provide care within this congregation, that the Lord would grant them his strength, sustain them through weary and difficult times, and grant them joy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For First Concern, CareNet, Clearway Clinic, Problem Pregnancy, and all pregnancy resource centers, maternity homes, and organizations that care for the abortion vulnerable, and those with crisis pregnancies, that their good work of caring for the physical, mental, and emotional, and spiritual needs of people would continue, prosper, and bear much fruit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all peoples, nations, and tribes, that under God's rule they may faithfully promote good and punish evil, and that God would reform them when necessary. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Shelley Anderson, as she travels to visit her son Gabe, that she would be kept in safety and that her visit would be blessed, and that she might lean on Christ for her strength. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the suffering, and the dying, especially for care to with her health issues, for Rose's friend Mary, who is hospitalized, and her sister Judy, for Nancy as she undergoes hip surgery, for Lou, who's dealing with brain cancer, for Bobby, who is hospitalized, and Carol, his wife, for Julian and his family, for healing of his broken leg and patience through this trial, as well as for Bill and Donna, Blair, Katie, Karen, Kate, Rick and Teresa, Stephanie and her mother, and Verity, that the Lord would deliver and comfort them, guard them against despair, and grant them patience in the days of our trouble as we await his perfect healing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who grieve, especially for Georgia, Tamis, and their extended family as they mourn for Mary, Georgia's sister, that they would be strengthened in faith to see death in the light of the resurrection of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the Lord's Supper this day, that our good shepherd would calm all fears in this valley of the shadow of death through the holy table here prepared in the presence of our enemies, that he would give us repentance and an increase of faith, and that in every tribulation or besetting sin, he would lead us to find comfort and strength in the overflowing mercy given to us in this sacrament. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith to endure the tribulations of this life and pass through death to join the saints in the ceaseless praises of heaven, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, you promised to raise up a shepherd to deliver your sheep from all their enemies. We give you thanks for giving us your own Son to be our good shepherd. Amen. Grant us to hear his voice, know him by faith, and follow where he leads, that he may deliver us into your arms forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our reading today is from 1 Peter, starting at the first chapter, starting at the 21st verse. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. But he suffered. He did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to who judges justly. He himself bore sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls.
Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.